Hey, it's Harrison Ford here, wanting to say thank you to all the Radio Labyrinth producers over at the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TimAndrews. So without further delay, Brett Perkins, thank you. Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom, John Sutherland, Keith Tate, Matt Carter, Mike D., Roby Neely, Sean Hall, and Todd Ellis. Thank you all very much for donating, and we'll see you in the skies.
Tonight's movie, Sexual Advances, will continue in a moment.
Hi, this is Dick Clark. You know, I've had the pleasure of bringing you American Bandstand now for, golly, almost 40 years. And since you and I have come to know each other so well, I'd like to invite you to the biggest party yet. American Bandstand's 40th anniversary special. We'll take a look at the legends of music from yesterday, as well as the superstars of today. And as America's oldest living teenager, I can tell you I've built up a whole lifetime of memories we can share together. We'll see you.
American Bandstand's 40th anniversary special, Wednesday.
It's Us and Them. A sheriff and his deputies accused of beating inmates behind bars, then hiding behind the badge.
They would even teach you how to beat a prisoner without leaving any scars.
Primetime Thursday.
Critics rave about Batman Returns.
Hey, stud.
Funny.
I thought we had something together.
Explosively entertaining. Keaton flies higher than ever. Viper's perfect.
I saw her.
DeVito's dynamite. This is the summer movie of all time. You've got to see it twice.
Gotta fly.
Batman Returns. Directed by Tim Burton. Rated PG-13. Now playing.
We do what we don't like when there's a greater good to be served. You more than anyone should know that.
Are we recording? Yes, I think we are. Hello. Yes. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, books, maybe. As long as we like them, I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regionally semi-famous Atlanta radio personality. And these are the co-hosts for tonight, Jeff Leboff and Stephanie Swain.
Hi.
Hi. Ira Malkin is stuck in traffic.
It's good to know that there's traffic.
Yes. Hey, this is season 5, episode 27, and coming up later on the show, we will be taking a dive into, not a very deep one, but a shallow dive, let's call it that, into 1992. And I do believe it is a better year than 1998.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, yeah, you picked it.
I think 1998, you know, like when you got started with 1998, it was on a good path, but then as it started coming together, it was like, wow.
Yeah, I realized as it was coming out, as we were unfolding 1998, I was like, wow, this really sucked.
Just the June of it.
The June, yeah. We'll investigate another month.
July.
Maybe we'll do July 1998 next year.
Yeah.
Season 6, so stay tuned. Breaking news, OnlyFans has suspended Donald Trump's account for hate porn.
What?
Yeah.
Who suspended it?
OnlyFans has suspended Donald Trump's account for hate porn. There's a lot of hate baiting going on.
What's OnlyFans?
I don't know. I just read it on, you know, the wires.
Tim knows exactly what OnlyFans is.
No, I don't.
I've never even heard of that.
It's the biggest charge on his credit card per month.
It's to OnlyFans.
No.
He spends like $3,000 a month on OnlyFans.
No, I'm gonna start my own OnlyFans. It'll just be me shirtless.
Like this.
What?
Like this.
Yeah. Well, I don't look like that anymore. That was the time my powers got really big and I was able to split myself into threes and I was a vampire.
I feel like you did a lot of carrying a backpack and looking over your shoulder to sad music back then.
Why? Because of the hair?
and the body. It looks like a Bill Bixby.
That's not really Tim's body. I just photoshopped that on.
I didn't look like that ever.
Only the head is Tim.
Yeah. That's some sweet fucking hair, though. Look at that part.
It looks
it's feathered.
It looks like an anus.
Did you, Did you use like the paint, you know, the comb that would be in the back pocket comb to do that?
No, I used a brush and a lot of mousse, and then kept it there. And you didn't, you know, once the mousse hardened, you could shake it, then your hair would stay that way.
Didn't use any dippity doo, any dep gel.
No, I used whatever my mom had, and then she'd get mad at me for using her mousse. Used chocolate mousse too, which smelled like chocolate.
I remember that stuff. It was like Avon chocolate mousse.
That's probably what it was.
Like chocolate, yeah.
Because we all knew the one Avon lady in our town. Gladys. Remember Gladys?
Yeah.
She's my cousin's grandmother, so we'll just leave it at that. Hey, guys. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you each and every week by our wonderful sponsors, Atlanta Pizza and Euro, who are now open for dine-in service. You can go in there, sit down, order your meal. Make sure you wear your mask. They sanitize tables between customers. They provide single-use condiments, but they also provide forks that they wash after you eat with them. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is still providing takeout and curbside service for those who prefer it. And you don't have to pay ahead of time. Just go to their website, AtlantaPizzaEuro.com, to order online for pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank every one of you who has been supportive through these tough times for the restaurant industry. And let's not forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. We thank you very much for your support, Brett. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. They're located in Athens, but they're not limited to Athens since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, hey, real quick. You know, Patreon is a wonderful service for people who are creative and also the people who feel like giving their hard-earned money to donate to people like us. One thing that's happened is, of course, our government is a bunch of greedy pricks and they want to tax everything. Well, this is a very confusing time for creators and patrons because nobody knows what's taxable and what isn't. Some states, they'll tax you for a shirt. And some states they'll tax you for a bumper sticker, and other states they won't. And I have no fucking clue what's what. But what I've done is I've gone through each of the tiers. They gave you an option to somehow manipulate it so you guys aren't affected. And if you are, you got to let us know so we can fix it for you. It's just super fucking confusing. So there's that. Have you guys looked into that at all? Do you know?
No, I just posted that thing that was supposed to show what's taxable, but yeah. It wasn't very clear.
It's not. And I don't want, people should not be taxed every month for a shirt they got 3 years ago. You know, it's ridiculous. And we got to figure something out. Maybe we'll make them all donations with a wink and a nod. And then if you're at a certain level, yeah, here's your shirt. So we'll figure it out. But like I said, to you patrons out there, thank you very much. And if you're getting screwed over or if something weird happens with the tax, just let us know. You can let us know on Patreon, patreon.com/Tim Andrews, or our Facebook page. I think those would be the best places because it would get lost on Twitter. Man, sorry about that. And before we get started, I just wanted to talk real quick. I know you guys probably don't want to, so I'll just do it. Regarding The Simpsons and Family Guy and all these shows that are now recasting classic characters that we've all grown accustomed to over the years. Well, Family Guy has been on 20 years. The Simpsons has been on 30, 31 years. And some people are angry about it. Some people don't care. It's a pyrrhic victory for people who don't give a shit about those shows anyway. They just like seeing ha, 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 ha. But if you think about The Simpsons, The Simpsons started on the Tracy Ullman show as little shorts, right?
Yeah.
And the voiceover people who did those were all characters that were already on the Tracy Ullman show. So the show got really, that little segment of the show got popular. They did a Christmas special that led to a series, but they had a limited budget at first. And then by the time season two rolls around, they had a shitload of money. So they could have hired people at that time to voice those characters. Now, there aren't very many, but they could have, you know. But instead, you had, you know, 30 years of a white guy doing the Mexican bee, or a white guy doing Dr. Hibbert, or a white guy doing the Indian characters on the show. You know what I'm getting to. But characters like Apu, I think, are so ingrained in Simpsons culture that it's stupid to recast them. So you just need to get rid of them. But anyway, my point being is they could have done this a long time ago. And I'm not one of those people who's pissed off about it. Now, as far as the Family Guy goes, the guy who did Cleveland, not only did Cleveland on the show, but had a successful series for a couple of years. So he's made bank and now he's stepping aside. He's not going to do it anymore. So that just makes me wonder if Tom Kenny should still be able to do SpongeBob SquarePants now that SpongeBob is gay and Tom Kenny isn't. It's just, it's all confusing to me, but I will say this. It's don't be mad about it because it's, you know, it should have been done originally and now look where we are with everybody arguing about it. And that's all I'm going to say on it. Any thoughts?
I know that I saw lots of comments from black people on the dude that did the Cleveland show.
Yeah.
Lots of people on his thread that said, nobody asked for this. Like, right. you guys are doing the most at this point. And it's like, we just wanted police reform. And now it's like, you guys are tagging Golden Girls episodes and shit. And it's like,
oh my God.
This to me is just like, it's like white people, well, we can't give you what you're really asking for, so we'll give you this crap that nobody asked for.
Right, absolutely. It's virtue writ large by Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, but to that point, obviously, there's tons of black voice actors that are out there that could have been doing more roles this whole time.
I agree.
I mean, absolutely. So if it sheds a light on that and it makes it so that, you know, more people, because I mean, if you have a bunch of black voice actors sitting there that could do the role and could do it very well, but why not hire them? I mean,
Phil Lamar can't do all of them.
He can't. He can't.
And the one he does that everybody knows the most is a stereotypical Jamaican voice, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm on.
So. Yes. But I mean, I know that a lot of people are irritated because we all are white people, and we know that there are people that are too white. They're beyond white. Yeah. They're like in a whole other, get out of here.
At least
you make yourself look like a damn racist.
The gun cups.
Doing too much. It's, come on now. Quit trying to fucking prove that you're not racist.
Yeah, or that you are, or just shut up and let shit happen. And like you said, nobody was asking for Cleveland to be recast.
Is Johnny Brennan going to have to stop doing more Goldman because he's not Jewish?
I hope not. I really hope not. That's one of my favorite characters. And plus, I support Johnny, and I want him to keep getting whatever pittance he's paid to do that voice.
But that story, I know that you had a story in the doc. You might as well just go ahead and talk about the fact that they might recast Cleveland.
He wants it, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. Wendell from Pierce. The Wire. Yeah, Wendell Pierce. Which, come on now. If that ends up happening, I just don't think it's going to be a bad idea.
No, I love Wendell Pierce.
I love Wendell Pierce too. And his voice is very signature. You know, you're going to know it's him immediately as soon as he starts talking. I think he would be a really good Cleveland.
Yep, I agree. I definitely agree with
that. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of good things that have come out of this. It's just a way that white people ruin everything. I'm sorry.
They sure do.
Stupid white people.
It's like you can't even do good things right. You have to do it so retarded. I mean,
hey, they tried.
Not retarded.
They tried to ruin hip hop in 1990 with Vanilla Ice, but that didn't. So thank God.
No, thank God.
Anyway, but you know, this brings me to one last topic before we start talking about my favorite television show in years. There are voices that I've done over the years that I haven't done for at least half of a decade and will not do. But there are three or four that I do on my daily job, the Von Hessler Doctrine. I do President Obama, Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman. And I'm not doing those on the show because I'm erring on the side of caution. It just takes one person to get pissed. And then, you know, all the work that people put into one thing gets destroyed. So that's why I'm not doing it. And if some people are upset. I know these aren't, this isn't the same show, but there is a lot of crossover. And I want people to know that it's not like somebody told me I couldn't do it. It was my decision. And, you know, Eric and I talked about it. And there's no point in it right now. I'm sure things will calm down and who knows how long. Probably after the election, then people will stop being so insane. So we'll see.
I'm going to start doing Herman Cain.
Oh, go ahead.
Shuggy Deck.
999. My Pokemon plan. All right.
Well, let me ask you something just before we wrap this up. Are there any white characters that black actors voice?
I don't know. I don't care if they do. You know what I'm saying?
I was wondering.
I don't know. I do not know. I do know that the guy from, oh God, what was that show y'all liked that I didn't watch and I washed his hair? God, it was shot. You know who I'm talking about? The actor who.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy's name. I can't.
Anyway, he does. He did, you know, Khan on Family Guy. Yeah. So that stuff's gone now. That you just can't do that anymore, or you're going to get in a lot of trouble. But you won't get in trouble if you watch Perry Mason's. Now, Steph, are you caught up on Perry Mason?
I didn't get to watch last night's yet, you guys. I'm sorry. Please, I'll leave the room, and then you guys can talk about it.
You're not leaving the room. We won't do that.
I'll take my headphones off, and you guys go crazy.
Phil Lamar did some white guy voices on Futurama.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was the voice of Billy Crystal's head.
Well, okay.
And a few other heads in jars.
Turnabout is fair play then, because Billy Crystal made a living doing black voices. So you liked the first episode, right?
I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it.
This is my favorite show in years. And
yeah, you get a nice pumpkin pie, sit down, you watch the episode.
Yeah, Fatty Arbuckle character with a huge cock. God, that guy's dick. It was dragging on the ground. It was
very, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a 1930s dick is what that was.
That was a 1930s dick. It was like Ron Jeremy. Dick. Oh, awesome.
He's canceled.
He is canceled. Oh, that's too bad.
Is it because he's not getting work anymore? Is that why he had to rape, or is that what happened?
He still got work. He has a website. He's just disgusting. You know, I mean, you'd never look at that guy and went, man, that's a handsome fella.
No, but I thought he was actually kind of a decent person, sort of, for, you know, whenever he did that reality show where they had him all living in the house, him and Vern Troyer and everything. He actually seemed like
Yeah. Remember when he was in the corner drunk and peeing?
Sad. That was sad. He's dead.
I know he's dead.
Rest in peace, Mini-Me.
Yeah.
Very sad, sad little man.
The women who have filed the claims against him are all in the industry too. Two of them are, you know, kind of out of it because, you know, they turned 30. But anyway, we'll find out. Who cares? They're all scumbags. Well, they're in porn. I mean, kind of.
You're a scumbag?
Huh?
I don't think that means you're a scumbag.
I would say 99% of the men in porn are scumbags, I would say.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But I don't think it means, if you're a woman, I don't mean that you think it means you're a scumbag. We have questionable choices in life.
Hey, thank them all for making the sacrifice for our entertainment. And for all those deadbeat fathers and abusive parents out there, thank you for creating. Anyway, let's get back to something that doesn't work. And that would be Perry Mason. Now, my grandmother, my mom's mother, watched Perry Mason every day on TBS. I think it was on at 2 o'clock, that whole wall of afternoon old people viewing, Matlock, all that shit. I never liked it. Probably it was just a stupid black and white procedural from that era. But this is just amazing. I didn't know that this character had so much depth. Matthew Reese plays Perry Mason. Matthew Reese, most recently an Emmy-winning actor for The Americans, which was a great show. But this is something that really grabs me, and a lot of things don't. And I was worried about it, and this is like must see TV for me now. It's a show I'll actually watch the night it's on. Also stars John Lithgow as E.B. Jonathan, who is an attorney that hires Perry Mason to investigate things. You have Shea Whigham. Y'all like him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great as that character.
Yeah, and Shea Whigham has been around. I think the first time we saw him was on Boardwalk Empire. He was Nucky's brother, and he plays a character, Pete Strickland, but he's a great actor, and I love that all these HBO, you know, shows have the same kind of cast and same actors and everything, and you know, we'll get to that. Chris Chalk, who I remember from various TV shows, plays Paul Drake. He's an African-American police officer who stumbles into this crime that has happened that's, you know, the central point of this season.
I thought maybe him and Perry Mason were going to team up, but it looks like in the preview for next week, it looks like they weren't getting along too well.
Well, yeah, because that character that Chris Chalk plays is in a very precarious position because he knows that something nefarious happened, but he can't do anything about it because he works at a police station and all the detectives are white. And there's a rule that black men can't be detectives because it's what, 1930 something. And
so this must be in the second episode that I haven't got to see yet.
Right. But I'm not spoiling anything.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, I was just wondering because I was like, I don't remember this.
And then you have Tatiana, I can't say her last name.
Masolani.
Masolani as Sister Alice. She's an evangelical weirdo, and there's something sinister about her. And then you also have some really good acting talent. Yeah, Robert Patrick, you know, Terminator 2. Della Street, Nate Cordry, Lily Taylor, Stephen Root popped into this.
Yeah, episode. I was going to say Stephen Root.
Doing a typical classic Stephen Root type of character. So
it's like the enemy of EB.
Yeah.
Like the rival lawyer.
Yep. Yeah, well, he's a district attorney of Los Angeles in this. So he's great. Right. He's got kind of a Jimmy James thing going. So
yeah,
that's the kind of Stephen Root character I really like. But I like him in anything.
Yeah.
So this show is directed, the first two episodes at least, are directed by Tim Van Patten. You might recognize that name if you're a fan of this kind of television. He's Boardwalk Empire, Black Mirror, Deadwood, Ed, Game of Thrones, The Pacific, Rome, and Sex and the City, The Wire, and The Sopranos. So he's been involved in all these amazing shows and certainly got a great resume. The first time I ever saw Tim Van Patten, well, we know his dad. His dad was Dick Van Patten. Is Dick Van Patten alive or dead?
No, he's dead.
All right, so he was Dick Van Patten.
And his nephew is Vince Van Patten from the World Poker Tour.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dick Van Patten, of course, from Eight is Enough and many episodes of The Love Boat. Tim Van Patten appeared on a very short-lived NBC show from the early 80s called The Master about a ninja played by Lee Van Cleef. They just rode around in a van for 13 weeks.
I used to watch the shit out of that show. I
love that show. There was that short time in the early 80s when European Americans were becoming ninjas. There was American Ninja 1, 2, and 3.
Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah, ninja. And I, you know, the kids were like, we were ordering throwing stars and bum checks from Soldier of Fortune magazine, COD, and then never paying for them.
Well, and the fact that they let us have them. You know, are you, that we're going around beating the crap out of each other with nunchucks. I can't tell you how many throwing stars I caught in the back, which thank God none of us really knew how to throw them. Because, no. I mean, they never went too deep, but a couple did stick.
And if you couldn't get them in the mail, you could go to the Oriental bookstore or the Oriental gift shop at your local mall and buy them. Oh, how much? Okay, give me money.
Yeah, we had a Gibraltar Trade Center, and they would have various little booths set up in there where they would sell stuff like that.
Jeff is the first person I knew who actually had a butterfly knife.
Ooh, I can see Jeff with some psi swords.
Oh, yeah. Jeff also had a fuster. Tell everybody what a fuster was.
There's just a broken hockey stick that I got at a Hershey Bears hockey game.
Why is it a fuster stick?
It was just, it was like the handle end of a hockey stick.
It was a fuck up stick. Like it fucked.
Yeah, so you can bash somebody pretty hard with it.
So he called it his first did. I think it has one of those typical plots, this show. Typical plot, there's conspiracy going on, there's religion, there's bizarre death cults. It's going to unfold. It'll be interesting. I think I was watching that. I watched this week's episode, the second episode, two times. The second time I was trying to figure out, like, this could have been a story in a True Detective season. It's that kind of writing, that kind of, you know, multi-layered conspiratorial shit going on. So
just to go back to the first episode, what happened in that first few minutes with the baby.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. This is dark as fuck.
Yeah. And Stucker's a fuster.
Right.
So I highly recommend everybody go check it out. And we'll be talking more about it as the season goes on. I don't know how many episodes there are. 10 maybe? Or is it a mini series?
I don't know. I'm sure they probably want to do more because it's been pretty popular.
Yep. Well, good. It's a decent show. Let's hope it stays that way. So, Steph, you want to do some news?
Sure. Who's jacked about maybe Michael Keaton coming back and playing old Batman?
I am kind of curious about this. I don't watch any of the DCU stuff at all. So tell me about it. I want to know what he
watched. The Flash movies, didn't you?
No. There's a movie, Flash movie?
Oh, the Flash was in the Justice League.
Yeah, but I didn't know there was a Flash movie. So
that's what they're doing, this Flash movie.
Cool. Yeah, go ahead.
So and he's just gonna pop up in it. I don't know how much of a role he's gonna play in it, or exactly how they're going to present him to us. Because you know, with the DC universe, they're all over the place. You know, we had goofy, crazy Jared Leto as a form of the Joker, but then we get Joaquin Phoenix in an amazing performance years prior in the 70s as the Joker in a completely different. So who knows how they're going to go with this.
Right.
And maybe if they come at it with more of an artistic look at it, like they did with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, make Michael Keaton like that. Don't make him into something cartoonish. I hope they do something more of that kind of vein with it. But you don't know. You don't know what they'll do.
Well, so he'll be playing an aged Bruce Wayne, I assume. And
supposedly, or he could be playing, you know, himself as as old Batman, being a mentor.
According to George Clooney, anybody could be Batman. Just as they put on the suit, he said Abe Vigoda could be Batman.
Hey, find me. Bat signals up there. Blanche, I gotta go fight the Joker. Who would be his Robin? I think the Todd Bridges character from that show, Fish, would be his Robin.
Oh my God, that would be perfect. I like that idea.
If they had to tell you to talk like this. Well, cool. I think that's cool. I like Michael Keaton.
I do too. I mean, I loved the first, the Tim Burton Batman.
Batmans are awesome.
That one and Batman Returns were both really great.
I don't like the Schumacher Batmans, although I don't dislike with intensity the first one with Val Kilmer, because I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, he did. You can always, you know, you can always not do that bad with a Val Kilmer. Yeah. Just put him in anywhere. He could just, you know, let it idle, take it on through. But
I didn't like Batnipple Batman very much. Mm-mm.
No, and well, now we still have Robert Pattinson to go as Batman.
That'll be in a separate universe, though. So that's interesting.
Right.
It's like a one-off or trilogy or whatever, like the last Batman movies were with the good ones.
Yeah, that's the thing. Makes me think maybe they'll go in that Joaquin Phoenix route with this version of the Batman. So are you guys Hamilton fans? I never have really gave a shit because I hate musicals, but I don't know if you guys are into it. It's wildly popular.
I'm going to watch it on Disney Plus when it comes out.
I've never seen it. I've never been interested in it because people glommed onto it and puked it down your throat like a Roman shower. And I'm not interested in it at all.
Well, everybody that I know that has ever went to see it always raves about it, that it's so great and da 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 da. You know how people do when they go to musicals. They just love them until they want to blow their brains out. I know you like musicals, though, don't you, Tim?
I like some. I like Les Miserables quite a bit. And I like old musicals. Classic musicals.
Like?
Oklahoma, Showboat.
Oh, okay, all right.
Well, I bet if you watched Hamilton, you'd end up liking it. And
I can't because I don't like him. And therefore, I can't watch it because it's been so hyped. I just don't like the guy. I'm not interested in him.
Well, you know, this is a big deal, though, that's going to be on Disney Plus. They've recorded it. It's not going to be live. So you get to watch. So if you never have gotten a chance to go see it live and you've always wanted to, it's going to be on Disney Plus July 3rd. But there will only be one fuck.
Oh my God. Thank God, Disney. The censor.
There's normally three, but that would give them a rated R. So he had to give two fucks away in order for the children to be able to watch this.
He literally gave two fucks. So that's perfect.
I hope that they appreciate the sacrifice that he made here.
You know,
to be able to enjoy this.
I appreciate it. I'm going to watch Richard Harris do Camelot from HBO from the early 80s. I like that. I love Camelot.
Oh, okay.
I wonder what the key...
Man from La Mancha?
Tonight. I like Man from La Mancha, too. La Mancha. Okay, go ahead, Steph.
I know you guys are both probably going to be into this. You know that Jamie Foxx is playing Mike Tyson in the upcoming biopic?
That's awesome.
And Mike gives the warning that Jamie better be prepared because he doesn't really know all of Mike's dirty laundry, and Mike's going to tell it all to him. Okay. And he said he better be prepared. It's going to be not pretty. So, yeah. So I don't know how much of this they're going to put in the biopic, but Jamie's known Mike for a while. He met him when he was doing stand-up. And he did a Mike Tyson joke, and nobody in the audience laughed at all. Only did he realize that Tyson was there, and he stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
Oh, that's great.
And this was years ago. So this was at Tyson's, the height of his popularity. And Jamie's known him through this whole time, from his rise, I mean, to his fall. So
I love Jamie Foxx, and I love Mike Tyson. So I'll see this movie. I think Jamie Foxx is a great actor. And you know, I wish him all the best. And I love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is, you know, when I was a kid, when we were teenagers, I loved watching him fight because he was just, and he'd beat the shit out of people. And he was just a, you know, just a muscle and arms and just pum, 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 pum.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had his trouble in the 90s. And I do believe he's redeemed himself, but it doesn't matter to me. It only matters to Mike Tyson as far as that kind of redemption. And I've watched a lot of interviews with him. The one he did with Norm Macdonald, while awkward, was good. And the Joe Rogan show where he's talking about all the weed, you know, yeah, his weed farm and stuff. So I wish him all the best. Have you seen him sparring? Like, he's going to fight again?
Oh, yeah, I have heard about that.
Yeah, but you got to watch him. I mean, he's in his 50s. He's 50, I think. Pop, 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 and he looks like he's got the body of a 25-year-old man.
That's the only thing that I'm wondering. Wondering how they're going to go with this is, you know, Jamie Foxx is 52. Does he look 52? No, not even close. But are they going to have him playing a young Tyson? I guess, I'm assuming, since it's a biopic. So I don't know if they're going to de-age him somehow. I don't know if he looks that young. I don't think he looks like he's in his 20s.
Nah, they'll probably do that retro whatever thing they do. So
I mean, Jamie's already said they're going to have to do something for his calves because he said no matter amount of working out that he does, is his calves ever going to be like Tyson's? They're going to have to put some kind of prosthetics on him or some shit.
Tyson's calves are like the Incredible Hulk. He could probably, if he wanted to, jump from coast to coast. Boom, boom.
No doubt. No doubt. I don't know if this is going to be good or not. It probably won't, but they're rebooting Twister, which the time, and you know, 97 when this movie came out, I'd never seen any shit like this. When I saw this at the theater, I was blown away. I couldn't believe the special effects and all that stuff. Now you watch it and it's like, meh. So the only thing I could say is maybe with the tornadoes and the special effects will probably be cool, but was the movie ever great?
No, it was not great. And you know what, I did not like who's the chick from Square Pegs in that movie? I did not.
Helen
Hunt. No. Jamie Gertz. She was annoying.
Oh yes.
Jamie Gertz just wouldn't shut up, and it was super annoying. I liked Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. I love Bill Paxton, but it's just a dumb movie.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's Finest Hour.
It's a tornado.
Tornado over, man. Tornado over.
Tornado over, man. Man, I miss him. He was such a good actor. Yeah.
He really was. And, you know, don't you kind of miss that, too? This was back when a movie came out in the summer and people went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this was number one for at least a month, yeah, I would say. Maybe more.
Huge.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see if that's going to be a big pile of shit. It probably will. But how about Jim Carrey's new novel? Have you heard about this, Sarah?
Sorry. We have to kill the tornado. It's a demon. All right, go ahead.
But have you heard about Jim Carrey's new novel he's got coming out?
No.
No, tell us about it.
Well, it's called Memoirs and Misinformation. And Jim really goes deep in this. He tells you all kinds of stuff that you never knew. I don't know if all of it's true. It could not be. But the best part about us that I know that both you guys will love is because you're both audiobook freaks is that Jeff Daniels is narrating the book.
Ooh.
For the audiobook. And it's going to be about 8 hours long.
Okay.
And Jeff says that when he was reading it, it was like, oh my God. He got freaked out at some points because it's a wild ride.
Well, when does it come out?
When does it come out? I don't know. July 7th.
Yeah, probably soon if there's an excerpt from it.
Yes, July 7th. Yeah, so if you want to listen, there is an excerpt from it. So if you want to listen to it, you can go to, I think it's Entertainment Weekly on their site. They have it there.
I'll post it in the podcast show notes also.
Yeah, I'm interested in, I would definitely love to listen to Jeff Daniels read this book.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, especially since he knows him so well, you know, he'll probably put a really good spin on it.
I bet you that book will be smoking. All right, that was terrible. Book break.
You're not allowed to do Canadians anymore.
Hey, watch it.
Jim Carrey's from Canada.
Oh, I thought, okay.
But you were like near Buffalo, so that's close enough, I think.
Oh, you're damn right. Hey, if we're taking a book break, can y'all see this?
Yeah.
My friend Garrett Phillips wrote this book, Look Out for Shorts.
Oh.
Garrett was arrested, I think it was like 2010, I don't exactly remember, but for selling Molly, among other things, at a Widespread Panic show. And this is his tale of being arrested and serving in the North Carolina penal system, where he tells me he didn't have a lot of penal experience, so that's good. But it's an interesting and funny book. Garrett used to be, 100 years ago, he was the 50-year-old intern or the 40-year-old intern on the Regular Guy show in the mid-2000s. But he's a good dude, and there's some interesting tales. I started reading it today. I don't normally read books. I normally do the audiobook thing, as Steph said, but it's a good read. And if you're interested in learning more, you can go to lookoutforshorts.com.
Oh, very cool. I'm very interested in that.
I'll let you borrow it so you don't have to waste your money.
No, wait. I'll let you read it to me because, you know, I'll fall asleep.
I did ask him if I could read the audiobook, and he said, well, your voice isn't really gruff enough, but figure it out. I don't know. You're too smooth with your read. I haven't done Garrett in a long time, so.
Maybe you could have Jeff do it.
Yeah. I can't look at Jeff. He has a picture of me shirtless behind watching the video on YouTube.
I almost did design the cover for that book, but I didn't have time when he needed it.
Yeah, it's serviceable. I think you would have done a better job. How about that? Pumping up Jeff.
I think you would have done a good job. But it looks like a good book, though. Looks interesting.
All right. I'm sorry I interrupted your news.
No, it's only, I only had like two things left. Well, one great thing, which we're all excited about, is The Boys is coming back on my birthday, September 4th. I'm so excited. What a great birthday present.
Okay. Yeah, happy birthday, Steph. Yeah. The Boys are back.
I will spend the day, I'm quite sure, watching as many episodes as I can in a day, if not all of them.
Binging it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I loved the last season, the first season. I thought it was so good and so different than any other superhero crap that I've watched. And I'm very excited about the next episode. But that's all of my news, really.
I like it when they fuck with the cape shit. You know, I'm tired of cape shit.
Yeah, because nobody's... It's just, to me, it's unbelievable to believe that anybody's all great like that.
Right. Ha, ha, ha. When you've smoked too much and can't do Cleveland Brown.
Hey, Peter.
See, I can't do it.
It's sad.
It's sad. Hey, let's hop in the Radio Labyrinth time machine, shall we?
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready.
Party! Okay. We're hopping in the we're hopping in the... broken down DeLorean. You know what? If we had a time machine, it would be in a Pinto, I think. So let's hop in the Radio Labyrinth 1976 cherry red Pinto and travel back to 1992.
Yeah.
When I lived in a place called the Calkins Building in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. And all I did was drink and listen to music. Lots of booze, debauchery, games of strip poker that were very embarrassing. And we all sat around getting excited for Clinton to win. And drinking. Anyway, Steph.
Yeah, I was 18, working in my first group home, getting the crap kicked out of me every day by mentally challenged adults, and smoking a lot of stuff.
I quit in 92. Isn't that weird?
I was smoking everything I could get a hold of, really, pretty much at that point.
Cigarettes, cigars, pole.
Yeah, there was some poles in there. One, at least. But, yeah, it was a good time, though. It was still a good time.
Yeah. My third attempt at my junior year in college, so that was good.
That was good that you went on with that.
How much was rent in the Calkins building? That place was such a shithole.
I don't know. I still owe the guy that I lived with. No, that was a different apartment. Rent in the Calkins building, I think we each paid to $150 a month. And there were three of us there. So what, $450, $500? I think that's how much it was a month.
Yeah, that's how much my rent was. It's like $450. I lived in the Creekside Apartments in Flat Rock, Michigan.
Yeah.
With my then boyfriend. And I had a two life-size cutouts in the living room, one of James Dean, one of John Wayne. Who would frighten me every single time that I came home from work in the dark and I thought somebody was in the apartment.
Every once in a while we would have a nitrous party because one of the guys that lived with us was friends with the kid whose dad was a dentist. So we could get an industrial tank of nitrous and balloons. And our one friend would just do balloons all night. One morning I came out of my bedroom and he was sitting there with a semi-deflated balloon in his hand and blue lips.
How is he? I mean, he's got to be brain damaged.
No, he's fine. He's fine. I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to embarrass him. But it wasn't Jeff. I would do one balloon, but all night long. Oh, it's listen to fish.
Watch UHF.
Yeah.
That was 92. Yeah,
we did that in the theater. No, that was 1988, and we did it in the theater. No, 89. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead, Steph. This is you.
Oh, you want me to do this? I thought you were going to do it.
All right, I'll do it. You chose the year. 1992, among other things, it was a sea change. It was Gen X finally coming into their own, being able to vote for the Democrat that they all thought was Kennedy. You know, ooh, Bill Clinton is the hillbilly Kennedy. Hey, everybody. Hey, I had sex with Monica. What's her name? What was her name? That weirdo? That, God, I can't remember. That
Paula.
No, the blonde. Paula Jones hadn't come around yet. This is the blonde. Jennifer Flowers. I did not have Jennifer Flowers. And I'm going to go on to 60 Minutes with Hillary, and she's going to talk about her chocolate chip cookies. And wonderful summer of that kind of shit. Gulf War had been over for a year, so all that was behind us. And the riots had ended, so it was a nice, calm summer, you would think. And Bush just went boom, 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 boom. And a new guy jumped in. Remember this guy? How you doing? Let me see if I can do it. That dog don't hunt. My name is Ross Perot, H. Ross Perot, and I'm running for president. And here's my vice president. Wait, I quit. Nope, wait, I'm back. Ross Perot, he threw a monkey wrench into the spokes of the Bush, George Bush campaign, and Bill Clinton became president in 1992. I had to wait till 93 for that to happen. But nevertheless, that was where we were all. Were you excited for Clinton, you guys?
I voted for him. That was my first president. That's the first time I ever voted.
I voted for Dukakis the first time.
In 84?
88.
88, okay. 84 was Mondale, right?
Right. I couldn't vote then. I'm not that old. I turned 18 2 days before the 1988 presidential election, so I was all ready to go. Yeah. This is an odd summer. Unemployment peaked at 7.8, which was a very high level. Hadn't been that high since 1984. Of course, it's certainly much higher than that now. They didn't have any nasty coronaviruses flying around the air then. Notably, Dan Quayle, who was vice president from Indiana, spelled potato with an E. And that caught everybody's attention. Oh, such a dumbass. John Gotti was sentenced to life in prison. Now, I always thought that happened later, but man, it's 1992. Thank you, Giuliani, for destroying the mob.
And all future possible mob movies.
Yeah, well, there's been two Gotti movies, right? One with Amanda Santi, And the other one was with John Travolta. And I think the Travolta one was garbage. I never saw it.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
Is it?
To me, it was.
So the movies that came out in June of 1992, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, which probably confused the living shit out of Twin Peaks fans, right? Because it really wasn't that close to what was going on in the show.
Mm-mm. But it was a good standalone thing. Like, even if you weren't watching the show, I don't know. I felt like it was a really good, it was just a tripped out movie.
Oh, hell yeah. And that movie, more than the original series, set the stage for the Showtime show a couple years ago, right? Was it on Showtime or Netflix? I forget. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The Twin Peaks reboot or update that was out a couple years ago was basically taking a lot from Fire Walk With Me.
Was that already a couple of years ago? I thought it was last year.
No, it's been 2 or 3 years. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
I think we were living in, might have still been living in Midtown when that started. I don't remember, though. I have a very bad memory now because of all the whippets. Patriot came out that month, and Patriot Games, I think the first time Harrison Ford played in a Tom Clancy movie, I believe. I'm not sure.
Patriot Games was dope.
Oh yeah. I
loved it when it came out.
Now, did you read the book before the movie came out?
No.
I did, because I was really into Tom Clancy, and I liked the Jack Ryan stuff. I loved Hunt for Red October when that came out. I had to read it twice because it was confusing for me at that age. And the one that never got made into a movie was, oh God, now I can't think of it. It's about World War III with Russia, which is very bizarre. Never got made into a movie, but I love Patriot Games.
Yeah, Ira says he's trying to join.
All right, hang on a minute, Ira. Johnny come lately. Hang on a minute. Oh, you know, we're digging it out of here. I'm trying.
I never saw Fire Walk With Me.
You never did? You should watch it. It's good.
Yeah, I think you'd like it, Jeff.
I've seen Patriot Games. That was great.
Are you watching the John Clancy? You're watching the thing with what's his face, Jim from Office now?
Yeah, have not watched that.
I've watched like the first 6 episodes. We got into it late, and I got to say, I dig it. We just, you know, it's just like there's so much crap. I keep going back and forth to it, but it's a good show.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
God damn it. I'm going to let Ira in, but I can't find the name of that book. What book is it? What is it called? Damn it, I've read it a whole bunch of times. Tom Clancy novels. Hi, Ira. Are you here yet?
Oh, there he is.
Red Storm Rising was the name of the book.
Red Storm Rising. Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of it.
That's not a movie.
No. What, is everybody just going to sound like shit now?
Not me.
Oh, Ira turned into a water bottle. Hey, Ira.
What's up? Got to work.
We're in the middle of talking about 1992, talking about some of the movies that came out in June of 92. We just talked about Patriot Games.
I never saw that.
Good movie. How about Class Act? Do you ever see that movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. No, I'm thinking of Class.
Everybody saw Class. That was a good movie.
What's Class Act about?
The Kid and Play.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Class Act is Kid and Play?
Yeah. It came out in June of 92.
I can't really add to
House Party?
No. When did House Party come out?
Yeah.
House Party came out earlier than that.
Before that. Tell us about Class Act.
It was just the two of them in college. Class Act.
Oh, it was a sequel.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't think it was a sequel. Uh-huh. I felt like this was a whole other independent movie. I don't know. I saw it once, and it was back in 90s, early. Mm-hmm. I really don't remember it. I just remember kids, high top fade. And, you know, the two of them jumping over their feet like they do.
Right.
And they were at college, and that's it. That's all I remember. I don't remember the plot.
You can tell who the white kids were in 1992. House Sitter is another. I never saw this movie. It's Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn. I can't imagine it's very good.
That is funny.
Is it?
It is. Yes, it's probably, it's dated now, but at the time, yeah, it was very funny. It was before Goldie's face started melting.
That's not very nice.
Well, I mean, you know.
Wouldn't say that about Martin.
Well, I mean, no, he just looks like a complete, like he's just been covered in flour at this point.
He's pale.
But yeah, it's a funny movie. I feel like it might still hold up.
I'll check it out. Batman Returns, that holds up. That is the first sequel to the Tim Burton movie. It came out in 1989, right? Batman Returns.
Right.
And this one was pretty good. It had Christopher Walken in it and Danny DeVito as the Penguin, which was a gross take on the Penguin. It was very
It was great, though.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. But it was really gross, his body and how dirty the outfit was. It was the first time, because, you know, the from the TV show, it was Burgess Meredith, and he was...
Right.
You know, he had the top hat and the glass.
The show really played him like a slimy, weird, you know, scary character, kind of.
Right. Like his dad was a human and his mom was a penguin. Something bizarre like that.
Didn't they allude to the fact that he ate a baby? Didn't he, like, eat?
Yeah, I think he ate a baby.
No. You could do that in 92. You can't do that nowadays, but dude, that was okay.
Yeah, you couldn't eat a baby nowadays, but you could get away with it in 92. They let you get away with more back then. a lot of people think Batman Returns is better than the previous one. So it just depends on where you fall on that. I like Jack Nicholson so much and Jack Palance a lot. So that's why I like that first one. Unlawful.
The first one only loses points for me because of Kim Basinger's scream. She screams so much.
She's not a good actress.
No.
She got an undeserved Oscar for that movie about old Hollywood.
L.A. Confidential.
Yeah.
L.A. Confidential. I was never a fan of that movie.
I didn't like it either. And I think that she got the Oscar over Juliette Moore for Boogie Nights, and she should have won that.
Oh. Really? That was the same year as that?
I think so, yeah. Boogie Nights got robbed of an awful lot by movies that were of lesser to me. I mean, Robin Williams beat out Burt Reynolds, and that would have been the one time Burt Reynolds should have gotten an Oscar. Because Robin Williams, it was like, it's the same, you know, caring guy that he plays in all of his and wasn't outrageous. I mean, he could have gotten that for anything. Jeff made me watch that movie once and then got mad at me because I was playing with my cat.
Which movie?
Good Will Hunting. You were mad at me, Jeff. Oh, yeah.
You were like, he's about to do a math problem. Quit playing with that fucking cat.
I like that movie a lot, but not because of Robin Williams. Anyway,
I want to speak up for LA Confidential before you move on. I love that movie. All
right, go for it.
I love that movie. I've seen it several times. I don't really understand how you could like Perry Mason so much and not like LA Confidential. I feel like it is a perfect representation of modern film noir. And Danny DeVito alone as the reporter for Hush Hush Magazine.
Right.
James Cromwell as the bad police lieutenant. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. There's so many.
Russell Crowe is in it, right?
Russell Crowe. What's his face? Guy Pearce. He plays an excellent character. Kevin Spacey, before he was Me Too'd. He has also an excellent role in this. He was He Too'd. Yes. This one's, you should revisit it.
I will.
It is quite a good movie. Yes.
Yeah, because, Steph, because you are my TV and film guru now, I trust everything that you recommend. So, yes, I will go back and watch that.
Right, Ira, you and I, we have long had a similar taste. So,
yes. So maybe I was in a bad mood that day that I saw that.
I don't like Kim Basinger. Don't like her at all.
Hey, give Kim Basinger a break. Her husband divorced her.
You you're just like your fucking mother.
I like
kind of like Veronica. Though. Yeah.
Now, don't everybody talk at once. What? Hello?
No, nobody talk.
I know.
This next movie, I have no idea. Unlawful Entry. What is that?
That was good.
Sounds
stuff.
Like something you'd be accused of nowadays.
If you're crazy, yes.
It was the one with Ray Liotta where he plays the fucked up cop.
Oh,
messing with them big time.
Yep. I saw this movie, but it's because Madeline Stowe, I liked her. And that's how come I know I've seen it because she's new. Anyway, I like the Madeline. I like that movie, I guess. I don't he always creeped me out in anything other than Goodfellas because of his weird eyes. So
he's got a weird eye.
No, he has weird eyes. They're so striking, and he wears
sparkly.
He wears the liner around his eyelids. He's just very disturbing looking. Sometimes.
You think he wears the liner, or you think he's one of those guys that looks like he's wearing eyeliner?
You mean like the guy from Lost? Yeah.
Yes, and
the Jew Show.
The Jew Show.
One on HBO. It was just on HBO.
What are you talking about?
The Jew Show. Plot Against America.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. So you just break that down into the Jew Show. Okay.
Oh, get out of here! You guys.
Did I not know about this?
What about Copland?
92.
I'm not saying he's a bad actor. He's just very striking. I can't look at him. You know when his hair's all messed up and he's wearing that ugly, those early 70s ugly shirts and his facial expressions and Goodfellas, just like, ah, start smoking. Smoke. They hated me so much they got a animated turkey to replace me. Oh, anyway, so Unlawful Entry, not very remarkable. Boomerang is a movie that I do like. I love Eddie Murphy, and I like even his movies. That was his last successful one, right?
Was it even successful, though? I thought that was a big flop.
Oh, no.
Boomerang was a big hit. It was a
huge
big
hit. What?
Yeah.
The soundtrack.
Up originally, but then it was like a cult classic or something, no?
No, that might be the one where he ran for Congress or whatever, a distinguished gentleman. Which is a very maligned movie. I know what the fuck that means. I like Eddie Murphy. I can watch it pretty much anything with him, even Best Defense, because Eddie Murphy's in it for a brief time, makes it watchable. But
Boomerang had like a lot of very popular people at the time. David Alan Greer was in it. Martin Lawrence, who his show was on the air at that point. So, I mean, there was a lot of popular people in the film at that time. Robin Givens, she was still with Tyson.
Oh, yeah. What happened to her?
She's still around. She was so hot. Yeah. She was so beautiful and a great actress, I thought.
And Eartha Kitt.
Oh.
Man.
Grace Jones,
yes.
That's a scary looking chick.
Hey, David Bowie liked her. No, wait. Oh, now I'm dumb. David Bowie did not like her. David.
No, you're thinking of Amon.
Okay.
Wow, Tim. I'm canceling
myself for the next 30 seconds.
Grace Jones, and then her role, she was representing the perfume Afterbath. If you recall.
Remember Grace Jones in that bad 80s James Bond movie?
View to a Kill. That wasn't bad.
Oh, try watching it now. It's very campy and fun, but it is not a great movie.
All right, fair enough.
Good song, View to a Kill, Duran Duran.
Great song. Didn't it have Jaws in it? Isn't Jaws in that one?
Simon Le Bon, yes.
Yeah. See, I like that one because I was young and, you know, the Bond stuff was still cool to me at the time. So.
Yeah, when I was young, my first Bond movie was Octopussy.
Yeah, same with me, I think.
Yeah.
On HBO, same. Like every friggin' day, so watched Octopussy. Go ahead.
And then got into For Your Eyes Only.
I got into that.
Good song. I like the Timothy Dalton Bond movies too. So, you know, soon a lot of people hate them and they didn't have very big budgets for them, but they're good. I mean, Wayne Newton's in one of them. Love Wayne Newton.
Which was the one that, what's his name came back for, where it was all Roger Moore for a while. And then Sean Connery came back for
Never Say Never Again.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I loved that one too.
Speaking of Kim Basinger, I believe she's in that.
Really?
I believe I'm going to find out right now.
She would have to be very, very young, I would imagine.
It came out in 1983. Okay, you Google Never Say Never, and it's a shitty Justin Bieber song.
Well, let's just do that.
Shit.
Daniel Craig is my favorite Bond, though.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm sure that's unpopular, but I do love all of his movies.
Yeah, Kim Basinger is in that movie. So is on Saito.
How was Spectre? I never saw Spectre.
It was great.
It was pretty good.
I lost interest.
So I think Casino Royale is my favorite one, though.
I do like that movie a lot. Not the original.
I'm going to jump on my Bond movies. I'm going to do some Bond binging.
Let's do a little Bondage.
I really like the Pierce Brosnan Bond.
Those are good. GoldenEye, fantastic video game.
Yeah.
NES. All right, so let's talk about music from that month. From the top 40 of June 1992, I think we'll try to do some Gacy here.
Cool. I was high on listening to Fish at the time.
I wasn't. I was high and listening to the Grateful Dead, who was still a band and touring. At number 37, not the only one, Bonnie Raitt.
I love that song. I still love that song.
How does that go?
Not the only one.
That's not it.
Oh no, that's
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, no, not the only one is it's got like a little pleasant.
Play a clip.
Not the only one.
Got a song about her barren womb wanting to have a child.
She's married to the dude from Caddyshack.
That's right.
She was.
Number 27, Come and Talk With Me by Jodeci.
No idea.
Come and talk to me. I really want to see you. Can I talk to you?
You could hear that in the basement of the Phi Kappa Theta frat house while Tim Andrews tried to pick up the last fat chick left.
How'd that work out?
Depend. Number 16, Bohemian Rhapsody, because of Wayne's World, back into popularity.
Well, good for Brian May.
Good for Brian May. At number 12, Billy Ray Cyrus, before he polluted the earth with his disgusting offspring, he made a horrible country song that you couldn't escape even if you were dead. Achy Heart. God, I hated that song.
That was the worst.
I hated it the first time I heard it, and I hated it the 8 millionth time I heard it. I had to move in with my mom for a little bit in 92, and she was in this. She had moved to a different house. Doesn't matter, but I moved in with her for a while, and she had a boarder living with her, a female boarder, and the only songs that girl played all day long were Achy Breaky Heart and Bang by that Russian metal band. Bang! Say da-da-da-da! You remember that song?
Oh, I don't. Bang?
It wasn't Gorky Park. It was bang! Like da 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 da.
What a weird combo.
No, but it was achy breaky. Don't tell my heart, my achy breaky heart.
Let me ask you, did you hear it first or did you see him singing it first in the video with that mullet from Planet Mullet?
I worked at a country music radio station that year, so I heard it before. I saw what he looked like.
And did it make you hate him even more? Hate the song even more once you saw him singing it?
Once I saw him in those jeans and that stupid mullet, I was like, oh, God, this is the future of country music. This sucks. Like, Garth Brooks was bad enough, and I love Garth Brooks, but this guy was like, ugh.
You love Garth Brooks?
I love Garth Brooks, yeah. I've met him, seen him a couple times, yeah. I like his songs.
And then flash forward to just what last year when he had this one of the biggest hits of the year, Old Town Road.
The number one country song of all time, a homosexual on a horse with Billy Ray Cyrus. I'm just kidding.
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Thank you. Number 9, If You Ask Me To, Celine Dion. Another song that Tim Andrews pretends to not like, but listens to when he's in his car.
Just see you if you ask me to.
I like her power ballads like you would not believe. And I crank that shit up and sing right along with it poorly.
There were nights when I...
What?
The one song. What's the one song? There were nights when I something and something, something.
That was written for Meatloaf. It's a Jim Steinman song. And Meatloaf also recorded it. It's on the same album as that I Would Do Anything for Love.
That does sound like a Meatloaf song. Meatloaf song.
Well, totally.
If I kiss you like this.
If you like touch me. It was gone with the wind, but it's all coming back to me now. It's all coming back. It's all in the same house. It's almost the same video as I Would Do Anything for Love.
Right.
Who's making the noise? I can't see because I'm looking at the show sheet. Coming in at number 5, Sir Mix-a-Lot and Baby Got Back. which I love. Who doesn't love that?
Not Ira.
Ira, you hate that song?
No, I said great song.
Oh, I thought you were like, ah, Gong Show. Like it was bad.
Have I told a playing tennis with my girlfriend at the time story?
No.
Playing tennis in Lancaster, near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And we were playing tennis, and these kids were riding their bikes, and they kept yelling, "Baby got back," at my girlfriend. And she didn't know what they were talking about, but I did. And she said, "What are they talking about?" And I said, they like your backhand," because I didn't want to be. That's where I left it.
And she believed you.
Uh-huh. Well, she didn't
later on, she found out about that badonga donk.
I like my butts. I don't know. I like them real thick and juicy. Makes a lot of trouble. Begging for a piece of that bubble. Oh, baby, I want to get with you and take your picture. That's a great fucking song.
But is that the one that starts out with the girls with the, "Oh, my God, Becky."
Fuck her butt. She's just so black.
I love that whole thing.
Me too.
And it was very accurate.
It was perfect.
I mean,
absolutely perfect.
The take on those kind of on that kind of women was totally
accurate. Oh, yeah. She must be one of those rappers' girlfriends.
Yeah, that's right.
I can say too, as a thicker lass myself, it was nice to finally have somebody say, you know, like, "The Cosmos says you're fat." Well, I ain't down with that.
Yep.
Yes. Coming in at number two, one of the worst songs this band has ever recorded. It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers and "Under the Bridge."
I mean, it's not a horrible song, but yes, their other shit is so much better.
That whole album is really good. It was just really overplayed.
Yeah.
Under the Bridge is a great song, but it was just overplayed. Every radio station, it was a pop hit. It was
it
was an alternative hit, which alternative radio hadn't really, you know, been thrust upon us yet to destroy the genre. But
it was always Anthony Kiedis running in slow motion with his shirt off.
Yeah.
It was too many under his mouth.
My favorite song off that album, which I still love it, it's never gotten old for me, is "My Lovely Man." Love that song.
Mm. Yeah,
go ahead. I liked Al Yankovic's version of that, the Flintstones song.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, coming in at number one, two teenagers who wear their clothes backwards, it's "Crisscross" and "Jump," which was a good song. It was a great pop song.
Has anybody done the David Lee Roth mashup with that yet, or what?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to find that out. I bet you that would be very, very entertaining.
Appropriate.
Yes.
That song is still a good song. It came on the other day when I was at work, and I almost went to the bathroom and turned my clothes around. It really started getting me amped up.
It was a good song. It was. If something was released back then, it had to appeal to everybody. Still, I mean, it doesn't anymore, but it had to appeal to everybody for it to be a hit. And it appealed to everyone. It was a great, great song. You know, great lyrics. It was fun. People. Mm-hmm.
Great summer tune. The Mac Daddy make you jump, jump.
Mac Daddy make you jump, jump. Daddy Mac will make you jump, jump. Turn those clothes around the right way. I can't believe it. The side is going to hell. Why can't they be like everybody else?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's Chris or Cross that died, but one of them's dead.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. Died like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
No shit.
That's 1992. The 1992. And, you know, I like doing this. We could actually, you know, just, we could dive deeper into shit. So I want to keep doing this if you guys do.
I love it.
All right. Well, you get to pick next week too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
1976.
76, you say?
Yeah. I saw King Kong in the theater.
Maybe I, you know, it's like we just did so much 80s stuff. That's why I figured then, like, you know, we've been picking the 90s. We just really hadn't really touched on the 90s too much.
There's 120 months. We have 117 left, so we can do whatever we want. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
All right. So let's see. People want to ask us questions. You can ask us anything if you're a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. Just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. The first question comes from an anonymous person. would rather remain anonymous, but this person is a patron. And this person says, let's say a younger man got drunk and high and was recorded nude on stage when HBO filmed The Impotent Sea Snakes. In today's crazy world, would that hinder or propel a person to achieve public notoriety?
I think it would depend on the person's, I don't know. What did they do when they were naked? I think.
So like full frontal. I got to find this documentary.
Well, you can find it. It's called Atlanta in the 90s and it's on YouTube. And the question actually was, would it hinder or propel a person to achieve public office? I would say that these days it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, as long as you weren't some sort of racist or a Nazi.
Yeah. As long as you're not wearing blackface, if you're naked and you're going full Perry Mason pumpkin pie in the street.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay. I'm down.
I don't think it would hinder you.
Okay. There's your
answer. I don't know if it would propel you, but I don't think it would hinder you.
There's your answer, Fishbulb. Andrew Harbin asks, when you guys start a new show, do you go ahead and IMDb all the characters and see everything else they have already been in before you watch so that you aren't pausing constantly, or do you prefer to play the pause, the show game, and ask everyone in the room, what else have they been in?
See, I'm always the only one in the room, so I'm, you know. Yes, I pause it and I look up. IMDb it while I'm watching.
Okay.
Yeah, I just get on my phone.
Yeah, I pause it. I just skip back if I thought I missed something.
That's how I knew that girl from Perry Mason was the chick, the wolf chick from Glow.
Yeah.
I was like, who is that girl? I've seen her before. I know I have.
I paused it because I thought it was the daughter from Californication.
Right.
I pause it. I don't look it up. My husband is my scribe. So he's the one who decides he's going to look it up, and then he starts telling me about it. So I have to pause it so I can hear the facts. And then I hit play again. Right. Or I will have to rewind it because he told me more than I asked for.
I think it's Hulu, although it may be Amazon. If you pause it, it shows you the actors who are
on. Yeah, that's Amazon.
Yeah,
that's it. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
The X-ray feature.
There's the song that's playing in the scene too.
Yeah.
And I will go crazy though. I don't know about you guys, but I will go crazy if I see somebody in something and I'm like, what the hell are they in? It will drive me nuts. I have to know before I can keep on going with it.
I get driven crazy more by, I hear a commercial and I hear a voice in a commercial and I'm like, who the fuck is that voice? Yeah,
that drives me nuts.
Mm. And then I'm like
a week until I figure it out.
Yeah. It's fucking Fred Savage. Why didn't I figure that out?
Hey, it's Fred Savage. Have to go. Right, you guys want to wrap up and do what did everybody watch? And our staff picks. Jeff.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I got to scroll down to find mine, but I watched the Legalize Everything, the Eric Andre comedy special on Netflix.
That's
hilarious.
Pure insanity. It's
totally crazy.
I like him. I'm gonna have to watch that.
Yeah, it's totally up your alley, Tim, because you want to talk about crazy.
I love that show he did with Hannibal Buress where he would turn around and shoot Hannibal.
Right.
Absurdity. I love absurd shit.
Yeah, it's really good, that whole Netflix special. Legalize Everything, it's called. And my staff pick is another Netflix thing. It's starting July 1st, which is probably the day this you're listening to this podcast. Unsolved Mysteries is getting rebooted on Netflix.
Who's the host?
I haven't figured it out yet. I'm totally into it, though.
Full cavity search. Go in deep.
The show was really the fact that Robert Stack was the narrator. That just really was a big seller to me. So
me too. And the fact that he didn't give a fuck about any of the stories made me even happier because he just, I need the money.
But this time it's got Netflix money behind it, so I'm hoping they're going to solve some of this shit.
Yeah, give me some solved mysteries.
Right. I heard they were doing some paranormal shit too, so I'm looking forward to that. Cool.
My favorite Robert Stack role, of course, is Airplane, followed closely by Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Oh, just you wait a minute. I served my country.
I'm sure those were the two things that he talked about on his deathbed. It's the best work he ever done.
Any movie. Mine, okay, Perry Mason. Also agreeing with Ira on the Scorpions. I wrote, but the Scorpions Wind of Change podcast, which is primarily available on Spotify. You can binge it there or you can listen every week on the other ones. But it's an interesting show. And there's a lot of stuff you find out that you didn't know, that you didn't know at all about other artists and people who were involved with actual CIA shit during the Cold War to, I don't know, to, what do you call it, demoralize the Soviet Union.
Right.
They're kind of like doing to us now. But anyway, go ahead, Ira.
They were influencers.
That's right. That's right.
But it's a really interesting podcast. So they keep plugging another podcast that's from a year ago. But it's a history of the show Cops and how it just fucked with all the people and how it created inflated Cops budgets. I'm going to listen to that next. My staff pick is called Where in the Hell is the Lavender House, the Longmont Potion Castle story, which debuts on Apple TV on July 14th. And it features, what's that noise?
What's that noise?
Rainn Wilson is the main character in that film.
What's it about?
Well, there's that the prank call guy, Longmont Potion Castle, who I've talked about on the show before, the guy who called called Alex Trebek and a whole bunch of other, like the Eddie Money call. I don't need any gravel. I don't know why you're calling me. I'm Eddie Money. Right,
that name sounded familiar when you put it in the docs. I was like, I know that from somewhere.
Yeah. And the prank phone calls that they're all over YouTube. You can listen to them there. They're not like super funny Jerky Boys type of prank phone calls. They're just weird and a lot of fun. And there's a lot of audio manipulation and voice manipulation and just absurdity. Again, absurdity is what I'm more craving now than shock, but I like
it. Is this a movie or a series?
It's a movie. It toured for a while and I believe it played at the Variety Playhouse here, or no, it might've played at the Relapse, one of those small theaters.
Right.
But I didn't get a chance to go, and it may have been, you know, preempted by the stupid virus.
Right.
Go ahead, Steph.
My original thing that I watched, I had Ford versus Ferrari. I did watch that this week, which was so good. As far as like,
great. I watched it too.
It was really good. It was really good. Yeah. But then I went ahead and rented The Hunt last night, and Jeff, you were right. Loved it. It was so good. It was so good.
Wasn't it great? So many great kills.
Caitlin, I loved it.
And it's like, you don't get used to anybody.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, it's the guy from the crying show. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. I just thought it was great. It was very well done how they completely make so much fun of the uber elite liberals, but then also the super dumb, you know, whatever. I don't even know what you would call them. The deplorables.
It makes fun of the worst from all camps.
It does, and it just shows the how stupid it is to be an extremist on either front. And Betty Kilpin, she was so good. She was so good in this role. Yeah, I mean, I liked her on Glow, but I really loved her in this role. I didn't know she could do all that. So she needs to be an action hero. Yep. Absolutely. I totally bought her. And that's the best Hilary Swank has looked in her entire life.
Right.
She has aged like a fine wine. Huh?
Pretty hot and Boys Don't Cry.
I love that you're saying stupid. I love that episode of The Office where they have the whole debate if Hillary Swank is hot or not. That's a great episode. But anyway, so that's what I watched. My stat pick, which I started watching it this morning, I haven't finished it yet, is the I'll Be Gone in the Dark docuseries on HBO, which is based on Michelle McNamara's book, where she cracked the case basically before she passed away of the Golden State Killer.
It's not a sequel to What We Do in the Shadows.
No, it's not at all. And I got this book for Christmas and I'm too lazy to read it, so I'm glad that it's actually being illustrated for me by HBO and I can just watch it.
Ira, you got anything?
Yeah, I got some stuff.
Cool.
I've been listening to a lot of stuff, and I've been listening to Robert Iger's audiobook. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Sopranos?
No, he's the CEO of Disney.
Bob Iger, not
Bob Iger. I'm sorry. So I've been listening to Bob Iger, which it sounds like it could be boring, but it gets real interesting when he starts getting into acquiring Pixar and acquiring Star Wars and all the stories behind all that and his relationship with Steve Jobs, and how, you know, Steve Jobs hated Disney and you know, before Bob got in there, and how he kind of wooed him back and how they became friends is great. And his relationship with Michael Eisner, and basically how their Disney movies were kind of shit in the 90s, you know, and they, he was like, look, he's like, I'm not going for quantity here. I just want quality back. And he's like, we have to buy Pixar. We got to figure out a way to buy, because they're the only guys that are doing it right, you know? And yeah, just worked out this deal with Steve Jobs, and yeah, it goes on and on and on. I don't know, I find it really interesting. So if you're looking for a good audio book to read, that's just encompasses all of that shit and big business and big media business and that stuff, it's a good book.
Cool.
As far as staff pick goes, have you guys talked about Dark season 3?
No.
It just released on Saturday. And you know, I'm a huge fan of Dark, that German show that was on Netflix that I watched both seasons a million times. Season 3 just released on Saturday, and 3 episodes in, still as good as the other ones so far, but it's a mind fuck of a show. So if you want something that's going to fuck with your head and it's done really well, watch Dark, Netflix. All right.
Thank you, Ira.
Sure.
You know, every week we add new songs to our On the Road playlist, which is available on Spotify. And if you are looking at the podcast, you can dive down. It's in the show notes. You can find the link. We'll bust these out real quick. Mine are all 3 from the summer of 92. And it looks like Jeff and Steph are the same, or just 92 in general. These are songs I was listening to in that apartment where we were drinking all the time. If I Can't Change Your Mind was a song by Sugar off the album Copper Blue. Bob Mould, originally with Husker Du. Then he did a couple solo records, came back with a very, very, very fiery pop punk record. And I highly recommend it if you've never listened to it. It's just from start to finish, nonstop power chords and punk and fun. A lower end of that, but also poppy and fun, the Lemonheads released It's a Shame About Ray. And my favorite song on that record was Confetti. And I listened to it over and over again. And then one that was really popular, of course, U2's Achtung Baby came out in at the end of 91. And all the songs on that were just everywhere in 92. Mysterious Ways is a very catchy song. And I can listen to that in the car.
Cool.
All mine were from 92 also. I picked End of the Road by Boyz II Men.
Great job. Why are you laughing at him? That's a good song.
I just can't picture Joe.
It's a road trip playlist.
Yeah.
And Life is a Highway by Tom Cochran. Life is a highway. And I picked Jump Around by House of Pain.
Also,
oh, yeah. That's a perfect 92 song.
That was a jam, I have to say. I was very much a Jump Around fan. Mine, again, all from 92. Connected by Stereo MCs. Make sure you're connected. Mm-hmm. Writing's on the wall.
Oh, yeah, good song.
And, of course, Today Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. Didn't even have to use my AK. That was my ultimate favorite song of that year. And Seasons by Chris Cornell.
How's that go?
Summertime, a trombone day, and I'm left behind.
Did he have a solo album in 92?
No, this was just a single that he did for the single soundtrack. And he really didn't even do it for the soundtrack. He just kind of did it. He was recording it. And they were like, you know, let's put it in the movie. And then they were like, it was just like one of those things that just kind of snowballed onto the thing. It was like a throwaway song that he made.
Well, cool.
But it's a great song if you've never, I'm sure most of us, people our age, have heard Seasons by Chris Cornell, but it's a great song. Great lyrics, too.
Thank you.
Ira, you got one or two? Can you whip it out?
I was in the bathroom.
Okay. We do have a listener submission this week. And by the way, if we post on Patreon, which we do every week, and we don't get to your question or your songs, have no fear. We will eventually do so. This comes from Sherry Doherty, and she has a couple songs. Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Because
a classic.
Duh, right. Statesboro Blues by the Allman Brothers, because it just screams Windows Down.
Great song.
And this one is appropriate for this week. Tennessee by Arrested Development, which is a perfect 90s hip-hop jam, and I can't disagree with that.
That's an awesome song.
Yes, it was. That whole album is fantastic. Those guys,
we're shaping up a hell of a playlist here.
We are. Yeah, we are. And it's all over the place and it's a lot of fun. And I hope that you guys can contribute more. Look, if you're a member and you're donating to us every month, you are allowed to contribute. And we certainly want you to do so and hope that you will. And again, you know, if the tax thing goes crazy on July 1st, let me know and we will fix it for you because government sucks.
Government totally sucks, motherfucker. Great Tenacious D song.
I had nothing. Ira, got any songs you want to put on the playlist?
I don't have any offhand, but if we're talking 92, I was thinking I'd pick something from Fish's Picture and Actor album and something from Fugazi and something from, what was the other one I was thinking of?
All right, we'll do Waiting Room for Fugazi. And for Fish, we'll do what from that album?
Chalk Dust Torture.
Right on.
And, there was another 92 album I was just thinking about, and I can't remember what it was. Well, I'll put something on there.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, thank you very much. That was a fun show. Good year, Steph.
Thanks, man. I'll pick the next one if you want. I don't care.
I do.
Yeah, keep picking years.
Just as long as you do all your Tim shit to it.
I will.
Just don't let Tim pick the year because Tim picks years that suck.
He does.
I heard about that.
Tim's going to pick 2020 if we let him pick again.
1948. Your prohibition playlist.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Ira. It's nice seeing you.
Yeah.
I said, sorry I was late.
Oh, shut up. Get out of here. I'm running around.
Hey, we're still working on getting your dad on, Ira. Let's do that sometime.
Yeah, he's got nothing going on. I should.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep it
canon.
Canon. Steph, do you have anything you want to say about dogs before we split?
Oh, just, you know, BarkvilleDogRescue.org, GwinnettJailDogs.org. That's it.